morning, everybody. Very encouraging to hear those words from our young brother there and from the mission field. You know, we've been doing this series. If you've been with us at all, we're halfway through an 8-part summer series entitled Renewing Our Lives. And we've looked at renewing our spiritual strength. Doug had that first week, renewing our vision for the lost. Wade LeBlanc came, as always, with his energy of evangelism and just helping open our eyes to the possibility of God using us to reach into other people's lives. I think I shared a little bit about an incident that occurred right after he, I guess it was the week that after he came, we were down in the Stop and Shop parking lot, and I parked next to this big van, and I actually parked a little close, and then I thought, as my wife and her recommendation, maybe you should move a little. And I thought about that, and I said, I probably should, but you know, those doors don't open out. They slide back. So I said, I'll take a chance, and we left it there. Well, I came out, and it turns out, and I think I told you this story about there were four men there who were part of an inventory team in the store. I knew that because, of course, I had worked in food service. I knew what was going on. And they're standing around, and normally I would just get in my car and go on my way. But it was almost as if the Lord had preordained that whole, I guess, encounter. And I just felt, without any hesitation, moved by the Spirit, and I haven't felt this a whole lot. I have felt it on a number of occasions, and I ended up walking up to them and talking to them. I asked them a question. I said, do you know how much God loves you? And to be honest with you, I was so bold, I scared myself. I'm like, okay, this is one of those divinely appointed situations. I had that with a little young fella years and years ago who came to our doorstep when I was living in Texas. And boy, the Spirit was just telling me, speak to him, sit down, talk to him. And we did. And we talked to him, shared the gospel. He lit up like a light bulb, had him come in the house. I think I've shared that one. Had some ice cream. Now, you wouldn't do this anymore today. And contacted his aunt, I believe he lived with. Ended up doing a whole series of mailbox mailings to this young fella. Apparently his aunt was a believer, and he came to faith there on the spot. And you know when the Spirit of God is present and working. And that was a sense of the renewing power of God. Not anything that I was able to do. And it was interesting. I had two tracks, gave that to the first two fellas, and there were two fellas sitting inside the van with the door wide open, and I went around and said, you know, I don't have any literature to give you, but let me tell you about God's love for you. And so anyway, make a long story short, I did. And as I was leaving and getting in the car, the one fella said, boy, that sounds like something I need. And I was thinking, isn't that the case? We all need the renewing power of God in our lives. And so thankful that God has done that and is showing us that he wants to do even more for us in these present days, if we will just turn to him and lean on him and rest in him. And so we've been challenged. We were challenged to give, I think, out of the first love. I mean, who doesn't in some ways know of that experience when you first come to faith and you realize that, you know, God has now rescued you from darkness and from the penalty of sin, and you begin to understand the whole realm of life in Christ and the gospel. And you know how God transforms your hearts from within, and you get all excited about the gospel. I always wish and pray and hope that I had that same blush, but maybe it's good that we mature and grow and deepen in our faith, but God can renew that as well. And then today we're going to be talking about renewing our minds, you know, taking our minds off the world and putting it on the Word. I mean, that's really how we're going to renew our minds, aren't we? God has given us a book, His Holy Word. And years ago, I knew nothing of that Word. And it was when I opened that Word and released the power of the Holy Spirit that God began to illuminate my heart and my life and my mind. You know, we have our bulletins, and I'm sure you're familiar with the verse on that bulletin that I think has been there for all the years that I've been here, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I guess my question is, are we feasting on that Word? We need to feast on that Word and allow it to tell us those things that will illuminate our hearts and renew our minds. You see, you can't have one without the other. A renewed mind translates into a renewed heart and ultimately into a renewed walk. And I've been seeing so many things. I've been very encouraged, quite frankly, at what the Lord is doing amongst us. And I think you should be too. You know, it doesn't matter. I oftentimes think about the fact that, you know, I've served a smaller church, much like this, and I've never been totally impressed with large churches, churches that tend to count numbers. And it's not so much about the numbers, is it? We know it's about the presence of the Lord and His working amongst us and in us and through us. And He's built, I think, a community here. I think we should all be encouraged how, even in the last couple of minutes, how there was a team of folks putting together a little coffee hour for us. In that, you know, rather than going away and looking the other way, they rallied and they got together. And we worked together. And we should be encouraged by that. We just had our vacation Bible school. I was tremendously encouraged by that. So, you know, don't despise the day of small things. Let's get on and do the will of the Lord while we have time and in whatever way we're able to. And that's why I think the elders are trying to help us to understand our gifts. But never get too far from the Word. You know, we sang today. Everything just kind of dovetailed today into one really, you might say, passionate application of this whole theme of renewing our minds, because it's with renewed minds that we begin to live that life that we're called to live by faith. Jesus said, "Follow me." You know, I often think how often years ago the salvation message was preached, but people got saved and then they never went any further. But as I often remind us, you know, we're called to faith. We enter into this new life in Christ. We're new creations in Jesus Christ. And now Jesus says, "Come and follow me. Come and be transformed by the power of my Spirit and by the power of His Word. And be renewed in your minds, taking your minds off the things of the flesh and setting them on the things of the Lord and on heaven and on eternity and on what He wants us to be all about." He didn't redeem us just to have us sit sour and soak, as someone said. He redeemed us to send us out. And we can do that in all different kinds of ways. And we do that. So that's an encouragement and a blessing, I think, to be those who even want to be concerned and consider this whole issue of spiritual revival and spiritual renewal. I mean, that alone tells us we're on the right track. Now, granted, it's going to take us perhaps a while to get down to where we want to be, but at the same time, we want to be those who apply ourselves with all diligence because of what the Lord has done for us. Let's give a moment to ask the Lord for His help today. Father, we thank You. We thank You for everything that we've heard today. We thank You for all the words of praise and worship and adoration that have gone up to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that we are here able to even proclaim and preach Christ. Father, as I was thinking and praying over this message, I just think of how many churches, quote unquote, have departed from the faith. How many have left their first love? How many are no longer even seeking Christ, seeking to know Him, seeking to follow Him, seeking to serve Him? Oh, Father, we thank You that we are those who are hungry. Father, and we know that Your Word reminds us the hungry will inherit a blessing from You. So, Father, continue to work through Your Spirit in our midst, in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, we just bring ourselves to You allow you to transform our minds by the renewing of our minds, that we might be even more diligent, even more faithful, even more desirous of following you and serving you in whatever way we can. So deploy us, Lord, as your chosen ones and your servants for Jesus' sake. Amen. By the way, there will be a couple of more messages coming. I'm not sure, did we get an email about the series? But there's next week, renewing of our inward man. I believe David has that. And renewing of our good works by Nick Sangiuliano. And renewing of our faith. I'm not sure who's got that one. And renewing our unity. So there's a lot of work to be done, isn't there? So let's see what the Lord has for us. He says the focus of our thoughts today on the center about renewing of our minds. But you know, turn with me, if you would, to Luke 18. It came up several times today in our devotions and in our messages. There's one thing about the renewing of the mind that can get you off on the wrong track. We live in a world, the information world, obviously, right? I mean, that's one of the things I think that's impacting our world greatly. The fact that people have so much information immediately accessible to them that it makes them begin to think perhaps in a different frame of reference. They no longer feel as if, you know, I can't sometimes talk with young people, I got the answer. I got it right here, it's on my thing. They're not even listening, they're thinking about what it is I might suggest to them. So, the fact that there's gray hairs, not much gray, it's actually more just gone, it's not a factor anymore. That used to be something that young people were prone to defer to. You know, hey, you're an old man, you're wise, you've been down the road. You understand what life is all about, the ins and outs. You've learned a lot. Help me not to make the same mistakes, or help me over these hurdles and give me your wisdom and your understanding. And so we need not to be puffed up, I guess is the way the Bible often talks about it. Puffed up in our minds, we can become those who have so much information, so much knowledge. I often think about that, especially when I see missionary talks like this. You know, we can almost be overly saturated in some respects with truth that we don't necessarily translates into service to others. So in Luke 18, verse 10 through 14, I want to think that this is the preface to our renewed minds. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. That's where the trouble begins. He was turned inward. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. That's the second problem. He was comparing himself with others. He wasn't looking up and seeing the holiness of God. And until we see that, there's really no sense of need for change. And he says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as the tax collector. He didn't know that when you have a finger pointing out, there's three pointing back. And I think that was one of the things he had disregarded. He says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, that's where we start with a renewed mind. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I think we understand that. We never want to leave that place of humility and dependence and recognition of what we once were. And if I understand the gospel right, that's really the message, that God would come and choose to redeem the likes of us. And that's the most glorious message of the gospel. It's not that he just came to rescue sinners, but he came to rescue sinners who were in desperate condition, who, had they not had a glorious Savior, could never have transitioned from that sin. They would have died in their sin, and that's the good news. There is that one who has come to intercede for us. So that if we will see and understand our own brokenness, our own unworthiness, then God is able to pick us up and clean us off and set our feet upon the rock and send us forth into a world of those who need him like we did. Over and over again, the Bible talks about that. It focuses on what we once were. Don't ever get too far from that. Don't necessarily wallow in the past, but don't ever forget that we once were sinners in need of glorious salvation. There's two primary passages that have been set forth, but we're not really going to get in depth on those because they kind of take you in a bit of a different direction. I just want to read those because, and you might, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, the first is Romans 12, 1 and 2, and it speaks, it's a very familiar passage, and you may have heard ministry from that passage in many different ways in the past. Because really, it's kind of the passage that takes all of what Paul has said, and you've probably heard this, in those previous 11 chapters in Romans, which is his greatest book of salvation in all the Bible, I believe, setting forth what God has done for us in Christ. And then he's getting to the place where he calls upon us to go out now. He starts with the word, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." I think there's the second thing that we might need to remind ourselves of and take possession of and lay hold of it and embed deeply in our hearts and in our minds. By the mercies of God. That's the thought that resonated as I was praying over this message and thinking about this message. I mean, there's so much here that we could spend a year on talking about what it means to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. In fact, I like how one writer put it, J.B. Phillips. He said, "With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that plan of God for you in good, of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity." You know, I like that because it captures, I believe, the practical sense of that very theological exhortation. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need for the word to be, as some preacher said, put the word on the bottom shelf so we can understand. We can often wax eloquent in the heavenlies, but we need to hear what we need to do in the here and now. Put the cookies on the bottom shelves, one teacher said. That's the foundation for Christian living. God's mercies, and God's mercies are new to us every single day to those who are in Christ. Yes, we live in a world of turmoil. But inwardly, God is renewing us. You know, the outer man is decaying. We understand that. But the inner man is being renewed day by day. And I take heart in that each and every day as I mature, both hopefully spiritually and physically. The God will never abandon us. He's taking that work in us right to the very end so that we can continue to prosper and be a blessing to others. You know, Jesus said in John 7:37, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or innermost being will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. And we talked a bit about that this morning. Paul talked about the fact that he wasn't just saved and set off on one side, but Jesus, by his Spirit, came to indwell him, to infuse him with his power, so that now he could go forth. That's how young men like this make it to the mission field, because the Spirit of God is at work. That's how the Holy Spirit works in transforming people's lives, so that they're not what they once were. Oh, I think oftentimes, you know, Paul, look at that. He went from being a persecutor to a preacher. I used to say to people every once in a while, especially when I was at the VA, they'd say, you know, what did you do in the Air Force? I said, well, I was a pilot, actually. And they, oh, pilot. I said, you know, did you fly for somebody? I said, well, actually, I went from the cockpit to the pulpit. And they kind of look at me, and that always gave me an opportunity to talk to them about, you know, the Lord. I said, only Jesus Christ and his salvation and his goodness could do that. Only he could take you from, that was my first love. See, I ate, drank, and slept planes from the time I was 11 years old. I bowed down, that was my God. And I knew God had to take it away because he gave me something better. Oh, he came into my life and he showed me the way and he showed me his love and he set my feet upon the rock and he gave me an eternal hope and he gave me you. He gave me a family, the family of God, so that now we can live in community, all having the mind of Christ. Isn't that amazing? How many people here? Don't even count. Because there's only one mind, the mind of Christ. That's the other passage the brothers gave us. If you want to turn there, it's Philippians 2, 1 through 7. It says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of his love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, mercy is here, mercy is always here. Jay mentioned mercy. Our first hour mentioned mercy. We are people of God's grace and mercy every day of our lives. That's who we are in Christ. If we are in Christ, then you have received of the mercy and grace of God. And it's the mercy and grace of God that's working in you now. And he says, verse 2, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. He needs to be, remind us to be humble, doesn't he? We're not here to serve ourselves, we're here to serve one another. And most of all, we're here to serve the King of Kings. I think, I love that. Somebody said one time, he said, you know, if God calls you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king. But don't stoop. Go to the mission field if God calls you to be a missionary. But we can be missionaries right here. Isn't that amazing? We're to be emissaries and missionaries wherever we are. And we need to pray for one another in that regard, because a lot of people who are turning a deaf ear today, a lot of people have kind of written this book off. This book to them is fairy tales and gibberish, to be honest with you, if you ever really get to talking to them. The Word of God? That was written by men. That's the prevailing mood today. And the further we get away from having them exposed to the Scriptures and maybe hearing the Word for themselves, the more it's going to become frowned upon, you might say. But when you open it up and you find the grace of God, the love of God, and the mercy of God, you know, the mercy of God is God not giving us what we deserve. I think that's what draws us, isn't it? That's what always has drawn me. I think I pray to the Lord, never let me get over that sense of your mercy in my life. That I could have been going down that path, but God's grace took me and put my feet on that path. His grace and the pathway to glory and his goodness and his fullness and his blessing every day of my life, so that I can wake up and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for giving me life in Christ. Thank you for allowing me to serve you, though unworthy as we are. And he says, let each, verse 4, of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. You know, I was studying that passage and my phone rang. And I picked the phone up and it was a brother and sister that they don't attend here, but they said, Tom, I said, I have a favor. I'm like, oh boy. And there was a problem that their car had broken down and they needed a ride and, you know, that kind of thing. And as I'm thinking about the fact that I'm looking at this passage and I'm making this passage like come home to my mind, God says, now it's time to get out there and put it into practice. You see, I'm good at thinking about things theoretically, but then the Lord says, let me show you how you can unfold this in real life time. Go out and help a brother or sister in need. That's where this passage really comes into play. It's humbling, and yet it's a blessing, isn't it? So I was blessed, perhaps more than them, by being a blessing to them and being to them the Lord's servant. They were encouraged, I was encouraged, and then we're all built up in our faith. Someone has wrote about this passage. He said, I stumbled upon footage from a British newsreel crew who filmed 6-year-old Flannery O'Connor on her family farm in 1932. Now, I don't know who that is, but they go on to say, Flannery, and maybe some of you do, my wife might even, because Flannery, who would go on to become an acclaimed U.S. writer, caught the crew's curiosity because she taught a chicken to walk backward. Go figure. Apart from the novelty of that feat, I thought this glimpse of history was a perfect metaphor. Flannery, due to both her literary sensibilities and her spiritual convictions, spent her 39 years definitely walking backward, thinking and writing in a countercultural way, not being forced into the world's mold, you might say. I think that's what they're suggesting. Publishers and readers were entirely baffled by how her biblical themes ran counter to the religious views that they had experienced. A life that runs counter to the norm is inevitable for those who would truly imitate Jesus. Philippians tells us that Jesus, through his very nature, was God. Didn't move in the predictable way that we would expect. He didn't use his power to his own advantage, but rather made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Christ, the Lord of creation, surrendered to death for the sake of love. He didn't seize prestige, but embraced humility. He didn't grab power, but relinquished control. Jesus, in essence, walked backwards, counter to the power-driven ways of the world. And Scripture tells us to do the same. Like Jesus, we serve rather than dominate. We move toward humility rather than prominence. We give rather than take. You know, that was one of the verses. I attended an Episcopal church for years, and that was one of the few verses that I remember thinking about. The Lord said in Acts, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I thought, that's a curious thing. I like receiving. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give. And that always puzzled me until I came to a realization of what he's done for us at Calvary. Now I can't think about not giving to him who gave his all for me. So in Jesus' power, we want to walk backwards. You see, that's what a renewed mind does. When a renewed mind, through the word, is grabbed hold of, it's made humble in the Lord. It's given a desire to serve him in whatever way. Years ago, I worked for an engineering company, and I was surprised when I went into the boss's office. Now, he was a believer. He had a huge map of the world, and just like our map downstairs, actually, with all the little pegs. And we got to talking, and I said, what's that? He says, well, those are the missionaries that I support with this company. And I came to find out that he gave a huge percentage of the monies to keep many of these missionaries on the field. And I thought, isn't that beautiful? That this man right here, who's been entrusted with this wealth by God, has a mind to allow God to use that company to serve the needs of the gospel and of Christ and of missionaries literally around the globe. I'll tell you what, it gave me a sense of deeper devotion to my task as an estimator. I wanted to see that company grow and prosper so that these folks could get even more money. That was how his transformed mind impacted me. I wanted to be a part of that and be a part of an extended blessing of that company. You know, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Humble hearts, teachable minds, and usable hands. God's doing a work. He's continuing it on until the day of Jesus Christ. Are you on board? Go to the Word, saturate your mind and heart with the mercies of God. If I had time, I would take you, literally, I had thought of this. I knew I didn't have time, but take the Word of God sometime and go through those chapters, those 11 chapters in Romans, and read about the mercies of God. If you want your heart to be stirred and your mind to be renewed, listen and hear of God's great mercy and love and grace for you. See, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He could have left us there, but he didn't. And he paid an inestimable price by sending his son to redeem us. There is no greater hope. There is no greater joy. There is no greater word of thanksgiving than to understand his mercies for you. And they will never end. They will only grow and grow till one day it turns into the glory of God. One day we'll see him face to face. So let's be about the Father's business. Let the Word of God and the mind of Christ dwell within you richly while you're sojourning here on earth. And each day is a new day. Let his mercies touch your life so that you can be all that he desires you to be. And you can showcase the Lord Jesus to those around us in whatever way he gives you opportunity to do so. Father, we thank you that you have done so much for us. Oh Lord, help us never, never ever to forget. Thank you for the remembrance table that you bring us to every Sunday so that we can dwell in your presence and be reminded of your great mercy and grace and love for us. Thank you, Father, that you know we have need of being reminded. Thank you that you came in human flesh. You understand us, that you were touched with our infirmities. You know exactly where each one is at right here and now, and what we're struggling with and what we're feeling and our hopes and aspirations, our frustrations and all of those things. And yet you call us to follow you, and you reassure us that when we do, you will pour out a blessing. Oh, Father, thank you for all those good things that you've entrusted to each of us to do by way of service for you. May you expand that as you transform us